And good afternoon, peoples. Welcome to another edition of Mensch Making, the show with Jewish values to help you make you a better person. Still figuring out this intro bit. I'm really not sure what we're doing, but it's the third week and we're getting better, right?
I think so.
We're getting better. We are getting better. Definitely more adept with the buttons here and all the controls. I should really turn your mic on so people can hear what you're saying. What did you say there before?
I think we're getting better. It's not
there
just
you go. Now people can hear you.
It's the show that's interactive, you know?
It's
we're
interactive.
Getting better, people are getting better.
And the whole world is getting better. All right. So I want to start off again, as usual, thanking our hosts here. Radio Laurier is fantastic resource for helping the student community at Laurier get their voice out and for everyone to be able to learn something new about each other. And so for increasing the peace in the world, we want to thank Britt and Lauren, Noah and Dylan, my man Dylan, managing our social media for us, getting the word out to all the faithful followers of Radio Laurier. Thank you so much, everyone. We really appreciate all your support. Today's topic is going to be about time management. Where on earth did all the time go? Time flies when you're having fun. It flies even faster when you have a charger plugged into your device and unlimited Wi-Fi, right?
I think so.
Time flies like crazy when you have that dangerous situation.
I know, my phone tells me it's like been like, what, 20 hours this week I've been on my phone or something?
It's out of control. So we want to take a moment to reflect a little bit about the spiritual, psychological roots of time management. Why should we care? What's wrong if I just spent 20 hours watching an entire season of my favorite TV show on Netflix or on Amazon Prime or whatever, YouTube? Or maybe on a DVD or maybe even on a VHS. Ooh, no, not a VHS. But what's the spiritual root of the idea of time management? Where does it come from? Why should we care? And how do we rip ourselves away from the temptation of the screen, the device, whatever else your choice of your favorite tool to waste time with is? So we are living in an age that has been unprecedented in Jewish history, unprecedented in human history, sorry. I'm just used to speaking in the context of Jewish history, but it's unprecedented in human history, the age that we live in. We are all guinea pigs in a way. We're all the lab mice being experimented on, and we're all trying to figure it out. None of us really have a handle on how to manage our newfound attraction to the digital world, the internet world, the connected device world, the artificial intelligence, natural intelligence. It comes a little confusing. Money comes and goes. You know, you make a fortune, you lose a fortune, you make another fortune. It's no big deal in the big scheme of things. You could always make more money, right?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I'm still waiting for that first fortune.
All right, it'll come. It'll come. You'll get there. You'll make your first fortune, and you'll probably lose some money, and you'll make some more money again, and that's how it goes. And even health, you know, if you get sick for a while, you know, God willing, you get back to yourself, you're healed, and you're back to normal. You know, you had a cold for a week, and then you're back at it. Sometimes it could be more serious illnesses, and recovery is not quite the same, but you can still get back to life. But time, time is one of those things where the minute that just passed is toast, history.
Oh, it sucks so much.
Gone forever. And it's such a brutal truth that sometimes I feel like we want to hide from that truth. We want to pretend it's not true. It sounds so harsh. It can't be real. It can't be fair that time is gone forever. That can't be right. Right? It's too harsh. It's too unjust. But that's just how it is. Time is the present. That's why it's called... No, time is a gift. That's... Oh, man. Way to butcher a slogan. Time is a gift. That's why it's called the present.
It's okay. You're trying to run away from copyright issues. You know, you're good. You're good.
There you go. So... It really is a challenge to make every moment count. So a little bit about the spiritual roots of time management. One powerful idea behind time management as to why every moment counts is the notion that we're created with a limited amount of time on this earth. Every single person, I don't know any belief system that has transcended this. I don't know any corporation that's figured out a way around this. Every single human being has limited time on planet Earth. At some point, I will be dead. At some point, everybody that's alive right now will be dead.
Wow, that just went real, real sad real quick.
I know. But, but no, it's not a terrible thing to think about every now and then. Because when you do think about that, you're forced to face the fact that you don't have unlimited time. And therefore, you really have to hustle. And if you want to get stuff done in your life, whatever your goals are, whatever your ambitions are, you have to get working at it. And you can't just cruise. You can't just chill and like, oh, today's going to be a lazy day. I earned myself the right to be completely lazy for an entire day. Right? There are times for breaks. There's times for vacation. There's time for recuperation. Don't get me wrong. But there's got to be that pounding sense of urgency always in your head. Like, I don't have all day. You really don't. You don't have all day. I don't have all life. I don't have all time. You just don't. God creates every single person with a certain amount of time, with a certain mission. And you have only X amount of time to complete your mission. To the degree that you're going to be focused, to that degree you will be successful in completing your mission and your purpose in life. And you just can't waste time. Another idea behind this notion of time management is the importance of living in the present, right? And not just getting lost in the past or in the future. Many times, that's what trips us up. Nobody really gets tripped off over the present, unless you're being chased by a really, really scary monster. The present moment is not what trips you up. It's the anxiety about the past or the future that gets you stuck, makes you feel overwhelmed. Right now, you can handle right now. What's right now? What are you doing right now?
Having a chat with you.
Yeah, that's a piece of cake.
Pretty easy, yeah.
Yeah, and whatever you're doing, if you narrow it down to right now, I will argue that 95, 98, 99% of your life is really, really more manageable than you think it is if you narrow it down to right now. And you take your life one moment at a time. It sounds so cliche. Oh my God. I don't know if there's a bigger cliche in the world. Maybe there is.
I was going to say, it's almost a paradox because, like, I feel like you need to be well aware of right now, but for a future goal. Right?
Right. So you have to have that long-term vision for sure. I hear what you're saying. It's not like you just live in the moment and not think about tomorrow or next year or where you want to do your master's. Clearly at Laurier. He laughs. I don't understand why he laughs. Absolutely. It is a bit of a paradox. You have to have a long-term plan, long-term vision at the same time as you're, you know, working on your living in the moment mentality. That's true. It's not really a contradiction. There's just that sense of, in the back of my head, is that big macro vision. But right now, I'm not worried about that. And I think part of this kind of approach to time management is that you carve out special times to focus on the macro, to focus on the big vision. You don't do it every day. And if you feel your mind going there, you don't let yourself... You know, you consider it a distraction. If your mind starts to wander into what about tomorrow and next week and next year, big picture stuff. No. You have an appointment for that, my friend. That appointment's coming up next week. Tuesday at 8 p.m. is your time to think about the macro. Every other time, it's the moment. And it's important to do that because in reality, the past and the future don't even exist. Only thing that can be said to exist is right now. Future definitely doesn't exist. The past has already existed. It's not here right now. It's gone. The only thing that's really real, if anything is real, is right now. So if you're allowing yourself to get caught up in the past and the future, which is where most of anxiety and worry happens, you're literally getting caught up in stuff that doesn't exist. How crazy is that? I mean, philosophically, at least, that's what's happening.
That is pretty crazy.
So, you know, we want to do a good job of focusing in the moment and not getting sidetracked with the big picture worries. There's a time and a place for that, but not all the time. Not all the places. I was really hoping to play a song today about time, but technical difficulties, we were not able to get that going. So what I want to do is play another song called All You Got. And it's a song about making it count because it's related to time management, I guess, because we're talking about, You don't have to do more than what you're capable of, but certainly no less. You got to give life all you got. Here we go. And we are back. Thank you for tuning in to Mensch Making, the show with Jewish values to help make you a better person. So, my dear co-host Robert.
Bobby.
Or Bobby. What are we going to do with this time management thing, man? It's driving us crazy. We need some help over here. What do you got?
Well, I don't know. I'm a self-proclaimed rabbi.
You're a self-proclaimed rabbi.
No, maybe sometimes to some people. You know, the beard really throws people off. But
yeah, I know.
I'm a time waster. You know, mm-hmm. I waste time. And
so how do you do that? Tell me. I have no clue.
Oh, you know.
How does it work?
I don't think you want to know.
The listeners might be curious.
It's an interesting phenomenon.
There got to be people out there that have no idea how to waste time. They must be really curious.
I feel like primarily, you know, Netflix is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And just the amount of things that are so much more enjoyable than doing what you have to do,
mm-hmm.
that really throws me off, you know? Because then I'm like, wow, why would I, like, study now when I can definitely study and, like, you know, I can cram everything in, but I can watch this new Netflix show and spend my time doing that.
Mm-hmm. What's the appeal there? Is it that the experience of watching Netflix is more enjoyable than the experience of working? Is it just
obviously.
I'm saying are you just comparing the experiences in the moment of what this feels like versus what that feels like? This is hard work, this is easy, so therefore I'll go with what's easy.
Well, for me, I just know I can get the things done, and I don't need to allocate all that time. But it's at the end, it's kind of detrimental because you're rushing to do the thing that you need to do and whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I guess recently I had a presentation, and I allocated like a good 3 days to it, and instead I like for like 2/3 of that time I spent watching Netflix or doing some other stuff, and then like the last 1/3 I grinded and got the presentation out. And though I did decently, I feel like I could have done so much better if I had allocated all my time to this. And you're left, like, with this poopy feeling of, like, oh, man, I could have done so well, but I didn't.
Right.
Why? Because I wasted time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just, like, you don't really acknowledge the future goal. Or just the satisfaction that you get right now from doing the... from doing whatever it is, you know, that's a lot more enjoyable than sitting and doing work. Trumps that goal because you don't. It's not instant. Like whatever, like Netflix is instant right. gratification.
Maybe we could reverse engineer that. Maybe we could go and tell ourselves the pain that you're going to experience when you're fed up with yourself in an hour is worse than the pain of doing this hard work right now. And so because, in other words, that's not what I'm trying to say. I don't want you to, I'm not suggesting that we should become, you know, so logical that we do everything, you know, by pure logic. We're clearly not ready to do that, right? We're high-functioning animals. We avoid pain. We pursue pleasure. Instead of trying to change that orientation, why don't we just manipulate it to our benefit? You know, tell yourself, and it's true, that if you're trying to avoid pain, the pain of hard work is nothing compared to the pain of regret and self-hatred you're going to feel in an hour if you don't do this. So if you want to avoid pain, what should you do? Do your work. Because there's going to be worse pain to come, right? You know what I mean?
For sure.
You're still in avoiding pain mode. You're not fundamentally changing your wiring, right? You're just telling yourself, hey, buddy, there's more pain coming down the pipe if you don't get your work done right now. So in an effort to avoid pain, which is you as a high-functioning animal want to do, because you're clearly not enlightened enough to just work on pure logic. So if you want to avoid pain, get your work done now, because there's going to be much worse pain coming. And you know that, because you've been there. Not you as in you, I mean us. One. And same thing with pleasure. If you think that the pleasure in watching Netflix is great, imagine how much pleasure you will have when you put a quality product out and you work on it properly. You will feel amazing. So being a pleasure-seeking individual, why don't you go do your work right now? Not because of honor or duty or responsibility or obligation or any high-level value. Because clearly that doesn't get us out of bed. I know I ought to, but I don't care. I want to stay here. It's not that you ought to, is that you're going to feel better or you're going to feel worse, right? Trying to play off the animal soul there.
No, I got that for sure. That's
maybe that could work.
I think it's definitely something that's true and real but you just have to remember that you're gonna feel poopy. You're gonna feel bad about it. Because
the
oftentimes
poopy feeling is real.
Oftentimes you outsmart yourself. You're like, no. You
I still got
this.
10 minutes.
Yeah, you can do this in 20 minutes.
I still got time.
You don't need to wake up at 7:30. You could wake up at 10 to whenever you need to wake up. Whenever you need to be in class. Or
right,
whatever.
Or shul starts at 7:15. I could totally wake up at 7:05 and be there.
I mean, like, I wake up at 10, but that's fine.
Next thing you know, it's 10. So I want to share a personal tip that works for me in time management for myself is just filling my calendar with appointments, meetings, tasks, putting things in a calendar. Ideally, things where I'm accountable to somebody else. But even if it's only I'm accountable to myself, if I put it on the calendar at a certain time, there's a much better chance of it getting done. Whereas if it's just on a to-do list, it feels much more vague and I can always procrastinate to no end. But if it's on the calendar and you know that this is a time that you set aside for this to get done, especially if it's something involving somebody else, but even if it's only just you and yourself and your own work, putting it on the calendar, giving it a time, for me, helps a little bit to nudge me towards work and away from, laziness and what do you call it? Netflixing, right? That thing, right?
It's not just that. It's really just anything.
Right. No, I know.
Because everything is better than what you have to do.
Tell me about it. But that's really, we have to work on changing that mindset. Either with going to the high level responsibility or the high level abstract idea that you're created with limited time and you have to maximize every moment and nothing really exists except for right now. Or with something more down to earth that capitalizes and manipulates your animalistic nature of avoiding pain, pursuing pleasure. But I think we have the capacity to grab a hold of this thing once and for all. If not once and for all, then bit by bit. But I really think that we have the capacity to take charge and do a better job of time management, do a better job of getting more out of our day. There's so much time every day. It's crazy. I once heard a rabbi say, 24 hours in a day, a person should spend 8 hours sleeping, which sounds like a dream. Get it? A person should spend 8 hours working. 8 hours working, 8 hours sleeping, 8 hours. The rest of 8 hours is for studying, praying, spending time with your family, eating, and pooping. There, I said it. But that, like, to me, that sounds like a great plan for a day. To get 8 hours of sleep and 8 hours of work and still have 8 hours for other stuff? Like,
you gotta be disciplined.
8 hours of real work? That sounds like a lot. Start and stop over the course of 8 hours, sit in a desk for 8 hours, fine. But to really put in 8 hours of quality work, that sounds amazing. 8 hours of quality sleep sounds even more amazing. So there's time. There is time. One thing's for sure. I don't believe myself when I tell myself there's no time. If there's something that I think I ought to be doing or I want to be doing, and I find myself inevitably having that knee-jerk reaction, oh, when? I don't have time. I don't believe that anymore. There's clearly time. No question. And if you're not sure if there's time, check your browser history. For sure time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So we have the ability to make it work. Right, we just have to...
What's that old adage? If you want to get something done, give it to a busy person?
That's true. I don't know where that adage came from.
Maybe, it's somewhere.
Maybe a busy person.
Yeah. Somebody gave something to a busy person and it
and
got
done. Got
done.
That's probably where the adage came from.
Exactly. Like, guess what? I don't believe it.
Boom.
It was done.
There's an adage. Just like that. Yeah. There is definitely truth in that the busy people get stuff done because they're the ones who are out there working. They're not sitting on their behinds, doing nothing.
Sure, yeah.
And they know how to squeeze it in because they know that to get more things done isn't really a question of time. It's a question of management. It's a question of discipline. It's not a question of, oh my God, I need another 3 hours in the day. No, you don't. You need a little bit more discipline, a little bit more self-control, a little bit more mindfulness.
Sure, yeah.
It can be done. Arnold can be done.
Arnold Schwarzenegger had a bit where he was like, if you, he's like, you know, people say they need to sleep 8 hours or they need to sleep 10 hours. He says, you know, no, you need 6 hours. And if you say that you need 8 hours, you just need to sleep faster.
Sleep faster. Yeah, sounds like a plan. So the next song here is a song. It's actually a cantorial. So I don't know if anyone in the listening audience has ever heard any cantorial music before. It's a very, very old, but it's been a few centuries of an art form in Jewish music, similar to opera. I don't know if it's exactly the same, but this is a song called Akavya. And interestingly enough, it also connects to time management a little bit because the words are telling us to reflect where we came from, where we're going, and before whom we're going to have to account for our lives. And when you think about where you came from, and you think about where you're going and who you're going to have to give an accounting for about your life, it makes you tremble a little bit and take life a little bit more seriously. Here we go.